Good morning, everyone. So happy to see you here in this beautiful place of worship. And I pray that all of us will receive the not only the word that God has prepared for each and every one of us, but also the power of the Holy Spirit as we celebrate the Pentecost Sunday today. According to the Chicago Tribune, on February 21, 1995, Jeanine Carmart of Arles, France, celebrated her 120th birthday. She was verifiably the oldest person in the world and had become somewhat of a celebrity in France. France's Minister of Health came to her birthday party. Three books had been written about her. Medical scientists have researched her life to try to discover the secret of her longevity. They found that for years, now this is a secret, she ate 2 pounds of chocolate a week. She smoked moderately until age 117. Don't try this at home, though. She cooked with olive oil, something that you want to try. She took vigorous walks and even rode her bike through the streets of Arles until she was 100. At age 110, she said with good humor, "I had to wait 110 years to become famous. I intend to enjoy it as long as possible." But by age 120, she was confined to a wheelchair. "I see badly," she said. "I hear badly. I can't feel anything, but everything is fine." Someone asked Carmart what kind of future she expected. Still displaying her good humor, she replied, "A very short one." We have great examples like Jeanine Carmart at our own church. As I just explained about Helen, she will be celebrating her 105th birthday in September. And some of you know, and some of you haven't met, but Ed Elliott, a previous member, enjoy a wonderful life of 106 years, remaining active almost until his last days. I pray that many of you, if not all of you, will break Helen's and Ed's record. So be prepared. Our misconception about aging is that people do not and cannot accomplish much in old age. This is not true. The Bible recounts individuals who lived extraordinarily long. Deuteronomy 34:7 states, "Moses was 120 years old when he died, and yet his eyes were not weak, and his vitality had not diminished." Advanced medicine and self-care contribute to longevity, but above all, God's blessing is the very force behind a healthy lifestyle, which certainly contributes to longevity. Some of you may plan to simplify your life and get rid of things to prepare for the day. I recommend that you do that with discernment. Otherwise, you may still be here when you turn 120. And you may still need some of the things that you can read of it today. And by the way, just want to remind you that Marion is getting rid of a lot of stuff. She has brought so many plants to the church. So go to the fellowship hall and pick up the plants that you'd like to keep it, because she's donating them all. Today, we will reflect on the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to every believer in every age, young or old, for powerful living. The call of Elisha provides insight into the believer's powerful living. God instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha to succeed him as a prophet. Anointing was a traditional method of appointing new kings and prophets during Old Testament times. In Exodus 30, God gave Moses a specific recipe for blending olive oil with fragrant spices to anoint the tabernacle, its furnishings, and the priest. The anointing oil was sacred that only appointed, skilled perfume makers could compound the ingredient into this special oil. For the anointing of kings, prophets used olive oil, which symbolized the power of God. The Spirit of God descended and rested upon the anointed. And you know what the anointed means in Hebrew? It means it's Messiah, the anointed. Elijah did not follow this tradition when anointing Elisha, but chose a different approach. Shortly after receiving the command from God, Elijah found Elisha in the field, plowing. Elijah was supposed to carry the anointing oil in a ram's horn and pour it over Elisha's head. Instead, he wrapped his cloak around Elisha. Another event related to Elijah's cloak occurred when Elijah was taken to heaven. Sensing that the time for Elijah's departure was approaching, Elisha closely followed him. They stood in the Jordan River, where Elijah took his cloak and struck the water with it. The water divided, enabling them to cross on dry ground. Before leaving the earth, Elijah asked Elisha what he could do for him. Elisha boldly requested, "I want a double portion of your spirit." As the chariot of fire took Elijah away, his cloak fell. Elisha picked it up, struck the Jordan with it, and the water divided for him to cross, demonstrating that the spirit and power upon Elijah had now been transferred to Elisha. This act of giving and receiving the cloak represents several aspects of the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of believers. And let me highlight a couple. Firstly, it signifies transformation, making the end of the old self and the emergence of a new identity. When Aaron and his sons were appointed as priests, God instructed Moses to dress them in priestly garment and anoint them with oil. This ancient tradition of giving a cloak to those chosen for ministry continues today through ordination, whereby those ordained transition from lay people to ministers of God. Spiritually, this applies to every believer. When God calls us out of the world, He clothes us with the Holy Spirit. We refer to this as being born again or conversion. It's noteworthy that Elisha did something significant before he picked up Elijah's cloak. He tore his clothes in two, symbolizing the destruction of his old identity. When the Holy Spirit descends upon us, our old selves are enveloped in Christ's love and power, along with our sins. Our old selves die, and Christ comes in to reign over our entire being. The Apostle Paul articulated this in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Secondly, it signifies the impartation of the Holy Spirit. When Elisha received a cloak from Elijah instead of anointment, he received the Holy Spirit and his power from Elijah. Elisha was literally clothed in the divine power that had worked in Elijah. The Bible records many instances of the impartation of the Holy Spirit through touching, the laying on of hands, and anointing with oil. A woman with a serious bleeding problem touched the edge of Jesus' cloak, and her bleeding stopped immediately. Jesus sensed that his power had gone out from him to her. In Acts 19, when handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul were taken to the sick, the diseases and evil spirits left them. This is not difficult to understand. When you are around someone who is joyful, that person's joy transfers to you. Similarly, when you are close to someone who is depressed, you may feel down as well. When we worship together, singing and praising God, the worshipper's faith and their joy in living in Christ drive out doubt and negativity within us. When we associate with a person of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit imparts from that person to us. This is why having a Spirit-filled friend and belonging to a Spirit-filled church is so important. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be with us and empower us until the end. The era of the Holy Spirit began on the first Pentecost, and we continue to live in that era. In Acts 2, Peter quoted the prophet Joel on the day of Pentecost and said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Note here that there is no age discrimination when God pours out His Spirit. The anointing or being clothed with the Holy Spirit is available to us today. The question is, are we reaching for it? We may not ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit due to our misconception about aging. While we would request more health and strength from God when we are young, we often do not do so at this age. We feel as though our lives are nearly over. We think it is wise to accept our weaknesses and come to terms with them. But what does the Bible say about old age? God used countless older individuals in shaping history. That is His story, God's story. Let me give you two examples. Noah was over 500 years old when God called him to build the ark. The Apostle John was in his late 80s or early 90s when God instructed him to write the book of Revelation. Some might argue that the people in the Bible were not ordinary individuals. They were. James 5:17 states that Elijah was a human being just like us. He prayed honestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Let me provide you with real examples, those who defy the aging process as we understand it. The renowned German philosopher Immanuel Kant wrote one of his most significant philosophical works at the age of 74 in the early 19th century. A highly influential Italian opera composer of the 19th century, Verdi, wrote Ave Maria at age 85. Michelangelo was 87 when he finished his greatest sculpture, the Pietà, which depicts the Virgin Mary holding the lifeless body of Jesus. Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States at 75. Two presidents after Reagan broke that record at the age of 78. Everyone gets old, but that doesn't mean we should feel powerless. Our bodies may grow older, but our spirits never do. You know, some of you ladies feel like that you are still teenage girls, because that's the proof that our spirit never gets old. Our body maybe, but our spirit doesn't. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Jesus promised us powerful living through the Holy Spirit. But why do we feel so powerless? Paul Dawson from Pendleton, Oregon, shed light on this. While visiting Grand Coulee Dam, my family and I were surprised to see that the visitor center was dark. It was a sunny day, so we thought the center might have tinted window. As we got closer, we realized no lights were on. We went in and saw that none of the displays were working. It soon became clear that there was no power to that center. Due to a technical difficulty, the visitor center that sat only hundreds of feet from the hydroelectric dam had no power. How could something be so close to the power source yet not be plugged in? The Holy Spirit's power is available to us. All we have to do is open ourselves to the movement of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to come in and empower us. As Elisha asked Elisha, "Lord, I want a double portion of your Spirit." We may be humble like an earthen vessel, but our earthen vessel can be the container that houses the Holy Spirit. When this happens, we can become a powerful instrument for God's kingdom here on earth. Amen.